This reading is from 100 Simple Truths for a Better Life by Humble the Poet, a Torontonian rapper and inspirational writer. With censorship, this is called You Can Be Whatever the You Want. In life, if you don't know who you are, there will be entities, systems, and people to tell you who you are. Media will subtly jam your brain. What you should look like, smell like, act like, talk like, walk like, and like in general. Even if you have a very unique concept of yourself, it's not set in stone. What it means to be a man, woman, citizen, rapper, celebrity, student, employee, etc., all are constructions of society. Nature is a minor factor, and only once mixed with your nurture does your definition begin to form. We are all a mixture of our nature and nurture. The more we discover those elements, the better we can work at our redesigns. People make a horrible mistake of assuming elements of their personality or core being as somehow purely genetic or in their blood. The reality is that you're not married to who you are. You can change it at any moment. The change may not be overnight, but nothing about you is concrete. It's a construct. Anything that is constructed can be destroyed. The idea that we're too old to change is ridiculous. The truth is, the older we get, the less folks we have to answer to. Thus, the less we need to adapt and change. Someone who thinks they're unable to adapt and change just needs to spend some time in prison or any other circumstances where their privileges of stagnation are no longer afforded. Just because you have the power to be whatever you want doesn't mean you can be whatever you want. Many of the things we want are still ideas fed to us. It's a tricky balance of paying attention to your insides and the outside around you. One thing is for sure. The most celebrated individuals are the ones that amplify their unique characteristics. Even cookie-cutter personalities come from an original stencil. When I see folks in creative fields, some feed off trends, while others create the trends that are fed off. I work hard to be a stencil. It's about creating and destroying yourself on a regular basis. Every version of yourself serves its purpose, and killing that self for the new self is a great exercise in letting go and avoiding comfort zones. Comfort zones, after all, are the enemy of growth. It also keeps us excited for the days ahead. The goal in 5 years is to look back at the present me and be happy I'm no longer here. What parts of you need to be fed? What parts need to be starved and killed off? Now, a family in metamorphosis. Here's Mia Falconer, my beautiful wife, and mother of my twins.
Hello, my name is Mia Falconer as well, and thank you for all being here today to hear our story. Celebrating and loving a transgender child equals better human. That's an obvious title, especially since so many of you here are celebrating Pride Week. But for us, it also meant learning to be more open-minded to new things we didn't know about, less judgmental to others and their circumstances, and also to practice what we preach, that love is all that matters. People often ask me what it was like having two babies at the same time. I remember feeling overwhelming joy while they were in my belly, every step from announcing it to eating without concern. I was carrying two after all. I love that my body was able to nourish such healthy baby boys. The day came, our identical twin boys, twin A weighing a whole pound more than twin B. Turns out Leo was eating Sol's share, or Sol was sacrificing his share. Either way, it was the beginning of their entanglement as twins and ours as new naive parents. Naive because we didn't really know what to expect. We had just met less than a year ago, before, and now parents with twin babies. But in my gut, I just knew that we would be okay no matter what. That's a powerful, honest feeling I've had only a handful of times. And once it comes, I let go of all control and just trust that the universe provides and not to worry. Feels like someone all-knowing and magical is sailing the ship. All I had to do is just let go and trust in the winds. I also had this feeling when I met Rick for the first time and when I applied for my current job. I felt blessed that the universe guided me during these times. The first 2 years were a blur. I wish I could remember more. We had both grandmas there to help us. I do remember that. I was also working and going to night school at the time. Rick tried working, but due to his mental health, he was not able to hold down a job, so he stayed at home mostly with the babies. We had no problem switching our expected gender roles. This was also repeated to our children. You can like pink or blue, Barbies or trucks. We wanted to be progressive parents. I remember purposely not dressing them alike, as I wanted them to be individuals, which is why we cut Sol's hair short and left Leo's with curls. We rarely called them the twins, but instead the boys, which is pretty ironic now. The first instance I remember of Sol trying to tell me something was when he was 2.5 years old and in the tub with his brother Leo. He pointed to Leo's parts and said penis, and then to his and said vagina. His version of vagina, I guessed. I smiled and corrected him and said, no, love, you both have the same parts. I remember texting Rick of the cute error that Sol had made in the tub. The next time I remember was around Halloween, and for some reason, Sol had tried on my nightdress. It was a mini on me, so a perfect floor-length dress for him. I believe he slept in that for almost a year. Well, men did wear nightdresses in the olden days, what we would say. At the time, he was also wearing a long scarf around his head. We thought he was playing a pirate. Wasn't until later he realized that the scarf was his long hair. Just before the kids were 4, we decided to make a life-altering decision and move to London, Ontario. My brother lives in London, and I lived in Toronto many times. Thinking about it now, I can't believe how naive we were to leave the comforts of our parents and friends and start fresh in London, Ontario with 3-year-old twins. But off we went, sold everything, and moved only with a few boxes. This was also one of those everything will be okay moments. We really learned how to function as a family unit in London, depending on each other. But the first year was tough financially, me working lots of jobs and Rick at home on disability. Sometimes we didn't have enough money for groceries and had to be humbled and use the food bank. I remember we didn't have enough money for cable, but we did have a TV, so we could bring the twins to the library often to pick up books and free movies to watch at home. We spent many afternoons in the local library. Also, Sol and Leo loved to play in their dress-up box. One day, we went for a picnic, and Sol wanted to wear one of the dresses outside. He's little. What does it matter? The smiles and poses he gave us that day for pictures was pure happiness. He was so happy. The twins started JK just behind the apartment building of our pretty rough neighborhood. Leo was teary-eyed, as was I, but Sol had a big, brave smile on his face, ready to learn and go to school. They were both smart and social. We were very proud. Sol one day wanted to wear his girl clothes to school. It was around this time that something in me began to wonder if it was normal development or was it something more. I remember Googling, when your 4-year-old boy wants to dress like a girl. And all this information came up about transgender children. I honestly had never heard of such a thing. The only experience I had watching drag shows at bars. I never even met another transgender adult, never mind a child. I remember crying and panicking, mainly because of my own fears of him being bullied one day. I read and researched and wondered if our child was telling us something. So we sat down with Sol and asked him if he wanted to dress like a girl all the time, or was it just for dress up? The answer was obvious. It was yes. He was thrilled. I took him, still a him, shopping at the thrift store, and we came home with all new girl clothes. We went to school after Christmas break and spoke with their JK teacher, Miss Bajinski, and asked her how to proceed. She said it's a Canadian law, and Sol has the right to come dressed as he wants and to be treated with respect and free of bullying. I cried happy tears, relief tears, and hugged her. Could this be so easy, I thought, after worrying about it for the last 6 months? We even met with the school principal, and he sent off some of his teachers on an educational session on transgender children. Sol was the school's first open transgender student. Sol wanted to be called Emily, but was also convinced to keep part of his birth name and to be called Selena. Selena was born. She was 4.5 years old. She embraced her new girl clothes and pronouns. She went to school with no fears. Miss Bajinski told the class that Sol is now Selena and took it as an educational opportunity. The kids didn't seem to be bothered, but the tough neighborhood parents sure had some commentary behind our backs. We weren't too concerned as we would be transferring the kids to a new school. In French immersion for grade one, she could start the new school year off as Selena and nobody would need to know the difference. I remember in those years always being worried about who knows and who needs to know. At the same time, I rebelled and would say, why is it anybody's business what's between her legs? I remember telling my mom and her trying to wrap her head around the idea. It was all new to her too. Now, years later, she's probably the strongest transgender advocate ever, especially trying to change the whole country of Finland to accept and love their transgender children. But back then, it wasn't easy to understand. My mother-in-law didn't seem to worry too much either, but she had a harder time remembering the pronouns, always calling them the boys rather than the twins or the kids. And the only opposition we really experienced was with some of the males in our family. But with time and love, they have come to let things be that they don't quite understand, and that's okay. Both Leo and Selena thrive in school. They devour books and did so as soon as they learned how to read. Selena always had her brother as an ally. Maybe that's why it was so easy for her. She didn't really care if anybody was her friend or not. She always had her brother. I was also always conscious of Leo's feelings too, making sure he didn't feel left out. He was also very gender fluid as a child. He's an artist and wanted to become a makeup artist. And he collected nail polish. He might deny this, but his favorite color was pink. Wherein his sister wanted to be called a tomboy. And she wasn't really interested in girl things. Both rarely played with dolls, but rather building Legos and dueling with Pokemon cards. But that was our household then. It was very non-traditional. Everybody had the right to enjoy what they enjoyed. We survived for 4 years in London before it all started to pile on us, on me. My husband's disability and feeling like I was in charge of so much was too much for me. I needed to be back home in Thunder Bay with my mom and my friends. They could support me or the kids when I had nothing left, and I wanted my kids to feel the love of spoiling grandparents, like I did growing up. Moving back to Thunder Bay was great for everyone except Rick. He didn't really want to, but was probably felt he had no choice. But sometimes the universe intervenes and puts us in uncomfortable places for a reason. It's obvious now what a blessing it was that we came back. Being back in Thunder Bay has given the grandmas their grandchildren back. We have old and new family friends now here that we cherish. And both kids say how happy they are that they moved back to Thunder Bay. I believe Selena has been such a trailblazer for so many of her schools and individuals. Everyone she has come in contact with her and her story has learned something. You just need to see her as she is to realize that it doesn't really matter. So the subject of being transgender is becoming less and less of a subject that we talk about anymore, other than today. Yes, she sees her pediatrician every 3 months to see where her puberty is at. Yes, she'll go to SickKids soon to meet with them about hormone blockers. And yes, there is so much more that she'll need to do as she becomes a teenager. But I believe she's developed into a brave, smart, kind girl who's not afraid to speak in front of an audience and tell her story, who's not afraid to go after what she wants in life. She has a future ahead of her, and thank God for her twin, Leo, for Canada, this time in our universe, for family and this community that she's allowed to be who she is, which is a lot more than just a trans kid. Thank you.
Leo Faulkner, and I have spent my life as an ally, at least most of it. From the age of 4, I was very uneducated in the LGBTQS2 world. Then again, what 4-year-old is. But at the age of 4.5, if you want to be specific, my brother's soul turned into my sister, Selena. What did I do? It was never a big deal, seeing that I have spent most of my life with a sister. It would have been a bigger deal if she, like, turned into a girl at 11 years old right now. Because I grew up with long hair, I was always called a girl, and even though I'm not LGBTQ or S2, at least not yet, I always felt like I would communicate with Selena. Also, I wanted to be a makeup artist, which wasn't the most boyish thing. But as for cutting my long hair, I felt like I wouldn't be able to relate with Selena. And that was why cutting my hair was such a big deal to me. Back then, when I did cut my hair pretty short, it took a while to get used to. I felt like I couldn't fully relate with Selena anymore. But as Selena didn't really care how LGBTQS2 I looked, I told my parents that I was lying about my favorite color. I didn't really like the color pink that much. I had spent my whole life, excluding up to far, thinking that pink was my favorite color, because I did like it, but actually, I like blue. I had been saying that my favorite color was pink to relate to Selena, because I thought pink was an LGBTQ color, and not many boys like it, because Selena was trans, and not many girls were. Mom and Dad were surprisingly supportive. For some reason, I thought they would ground me or something. I was pretty dumb as a 10-year-old. That was only a year ago. Whoa, really? I think I have grown as an ally more this year than all of my previous years combined. I just have learned so much about the LGBTQ world. And I'm also going to Rainbow Camp this summer, which is in Sault Ste. Marie. Not gonna lie, I'm a little worried about how the people at camp who are LGBTQ will treat me. It's not, but I'm not worried that much. That's pretty much the only times I've come into Selena's transgender adventure so far. As I said, Selena being a girl was never that much of a big deal to me, because she grew up as a girl to me.
Thank you.
my parts of the story here. I'm going to start it off with 1 Corinthians 13, actually. If I speak with human eloquence and angelic ecstasy, but don't have love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith that says to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor, and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel. Takes place in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Love never dies. Inspired speech will be over someday. Praying in tongues will end. Understanding will reach its limit. We know only a portion of the truth, and what we say about God is always incomplete. But when the complete arrives, our incompletes will be canceled. When I was an infant, at my mother's breast, I gurgled and cooed like any infant. When I grew up, I left those infant ways for good. We don't yet see things clearly. We're squinting in a fog, peering through a mist. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. We'll see it all then. See it as clearly as God sees us, knowing him directly just as he knows us. But for right now, until that completeness, we have three things to lead us towards that consummation. Trust steadily in God, hope unswervingly, love extravagantly, and the best of the three is love. When I learned I was going to be a father, Mia said I looked very scared. When I learned I was going to parent twins, I was happy and very, very scared. When I learned parenting meant to provide for and protect my children, I was very happy for the defined boundaries and not afraid of my role as dad. Provide for and protect is to me as deep and meaningful as St. Francis saying, love and do what you want, hence my opening biblical type reference. There are no qualifications, no limits. One night before our kids were born, I had a dream, and in that dream, the name Soul came to me as a name for one of the twins. So I faced a dilemma when my kid was transitioning and wanted to be Emma or Emily, but it lasted mere moments. I wasn't in command of her. I was charged with her being free to be fully realized. Then she picked Selena as her adapted name, and okay turned into, how cool is that? Another story, a favorite about both children. Soon after Selena started wearing her clothes to school and going by Selena, we were walking home after that day at JK, and a few tough kids, slightly older, looked at them, my kids, and said, are you a boy or a girl? And Leo jumped in right away and said, that's Selena, she's my sister. And I knew their little brains and hearts were on the same page, same path together. It's a treasure to have an example for being a better human, and that story makes Leo my hero. I introduced the idea of the infinite universe to my kids a while ago. It was explained just enough to fuel their imaginations. Somewhere out there, anything and everything is having a chance at reality. And that brings me to what kind of better human do I imagine myself being, and how can I help my kids and wife do the same? And this leads into the spiritual lessons I have learned because I'm a transparent. The world is a big enough place, period. What other people think of me is none of my business. There's a vein of gold in all of us, and the best thing is to discover your own before mining for anyone else's. This life is a complex puzzle to figure out, but we can choose to live simply. And for me, that means loving first and helping others love. Selena has been a massive force in my life for change. She has a conviction of who she is, and although my growing children may one day blame me for whatever mess they feel their life is being, being closed-minded, hard-hearted, mean, and unaccepting of gender and sexuality issues will not be the cause.
I'm Selena, and if you have been living under a rock for this whole speech, you probably will know that I'm trans. I have been trans since I was about 5-ish. I don't really remember much before, but I do know that my parents were very supportive. What? Before I was 5, I remember that I confused my parents by saying that I wanted dresses and bows and other things. But now I almost never wear those things. But back to when I was 5-ish, when I came out as transgender, almost nobody in my class even questioned my change. But then again, what 5-ish-year-old in JK knows the slightest about these things? As I said, nobody questioned anything except this one girl named Summer. See, she said this one thing that doesn't make any sense. She said, "Ha, you're a girl now, ha ha." But this is the one thing that doesn't make any sense. Wait, sorry, I skipped a line. But I never really took offense, as she was a girl too, so was the teacher, and the majority of the class, and almost half the world population. So I never really cared, and I took it that she was just stating a fact. But now I realize that it was a really pathetic way to try and tease me, and she stopped when she realized I didn't care about what she was saying. I still think that sentence doesn't make sense. Like, it's sinking your ship just so you can drown one person and that one person has a life jacket. That's really all I ever got for being bullied, so I'm pretty lucky for a trans person as they commonly get bullied much more than a kindergartner stating a fact. In fact, the only reason I added this part is because the insult is so nonsensical. Back to when I was 5-ish, I was already in London, like Mom said, and it was a nice city, albeit a lot of crime, and soon, in school, Leo and I made a friend named Aiden. We liked to go over to his house a lot, as we lived super close, and we quickly became best friends. When we left, about 5-ish and a half years later to move back to Thunder Bay, he gave me a photo in a cool skateboard frame, and I still have it. It was of all of us together, like me, Leo, and Aiden. My parents told Aiden's parents that I was trans early on in the friendship, and his parents were completely fine with it. It sort of scared me that they were so fine with it. As I said, we went to his house almost every day, so I saw his parents a lot and got to know them quite well. After I left to go back to Thunder Bay, in about 2 to 3 months, my mom told me that the dad of Aiden, Dave, was now Alyssa. She was trans as well, but she didn't know until then. I like to think that maybe I helped finalize the decision, or that he saw it now that being trans was okay, instead of, like, when he wanted to be trans, like, a while ago. And, like, hey, don't be trans, that's bad, okay? 12 years later, okay, you can be trans now, cool. And whenever I think about it, it makes my day much better, because that really warms my heart. Now in school, I have a lot of friends who know I'm trans, but don't think anything of it. Also, everyone has grown so used to it that they don't even think twice when they think what gender I am, a female. And I have a big group of friends that know I'm trans and don't think it affects me negatively. I have a great life, and I am very lucky for a trans person. Thank you for listening, and I hope you will join me in the Pride Parade afterwards, because that's going to be dope.